Hello, and welcome to the Meddling Kids Podcast, a groovy review of everything Scooby-Doo. This is another fun episode, I think, because we meet, once again, the fabulous Globetrotters. Again. This one is called The Mystery of Haunted Island. The gang intends to spend a day on Picnic Island. They meet up with the Globetrotters, and both groups end up accidentally going to Haunted Island. Aw, geez. There they face off with ghosts. Okay, here we go. The episode opens up, per usual, with the Mystery Machine driving down a, get this, road. This one seems like an unfinished road, maybe right off the coast of a peaceful little island. I mean, maybe they're at the, you know, the edge of the state that they're in before they're heading to Picnic Island. It looks really nice either way. Daphne and Velma are discussing how long they have left on their journey. Seems normal enough. But I would like to point your attention to the horrible look on Fred's face. It is pretty standard. I mean, maybe you'd call that a straight face, but he just looks so off. He doesn't look human. It's like there's something boiling under the surface. It looks like something pretending to be human. So I'm not sure what Fred's deal is at this moment, but it doesn't look good to me. It's quite a solid frame of animation, I would say, though. Very memorable. 10 out of 10, would recommend. Fred tunes back in pretty quickly, and he and Shaggy start getting really pumped up about eating, which is rare. Fred doesn't usually hop on that train, but you know what? Go for it, Fred. You're acting weird anyway. Shaggy tries to include Scooby on the conversation, but unfortunately Scooby pops out of their picnic basket, having just finished all of the food. Come on, Scooby, that was for everyone. Also, I'd like to point out, animation again, Scooby's collar wasn't in that shot, and none of the spots on his fur were visible, so he looked off. He did not look like Scooby. Well, he had a funny face, but, you know, it's just missing the collar and the spots, and it threw me off a little. Sorry, I lost my place. Aha. Okay, so just after that incident there, the van runs out of gas. Darn. The music here actually really takes an uptick. I mean, usually this is the music, if you're watching the episode, you know what I mean? This is usually the chase music, but they brought it in pretty early in this episode. So the gang gets out, and they were near a little town or spot in the town where there's an old fisherman's shack. So they get out, and they're looking around in this old fisherman's shack, hoping to find gas or someone who can let them call someone else who has gas. The shack is seemingly abandoned, except for some banging on the floor. It's in the cellar, so something is hitting the ceiling in the cellar, which is the floor for the gang who is on the first floor. And that's how some houses work, everybody. And guess who it is in the cellar? The beloved Globetrotters. Practicing in what they deem to be the perfect place to practice for their big game tomorrow. The Mystery Gang is pretty spooked. They don't know it's the Globetrotters yet. So they're coming up with ideas that maybe it's a mouse, which I think it's a very loud mouse, or there's just something in there causing a ruckus and they need to find out who or what it is. The Globetrotters actually hear the gang and they get spooked. So both parties are at one door, each on the opposite side, and they're both trying to open it. They're struggling with the door. It's a little game of tug-of-war. And the Globetrotters end up winning that tug-of-war, and they end up yoinking the gang into the cellar with them. Everyone says hello, and the gang actually invites the Globetrotters to Picnic Island. Yay! They agree to go, as long as they can get back before dark. The Globetrotters do a real nice thing and actually fill the Mystery Machine with gas as well as their picnic basket with food. Shaggy fittingly locks the basket as Scooby was planning definitely on hopping back in there. Oh, and I'd like to point out, I didn't mention it a second ago, the Globetrotters need to get back before dark, you know, back from Picnic Island before dark because they have a game against the Something City Scorpions. I'm sorry, I forgot the city. I don't know. The Scorpions. Anyways, Velma says, I sure hope we won't miss it in regards to their boat for Picnic Island. And that's when the show cuts to the last passengers boarding that boat and the captain shoving off. Nice. The group shows up to find a steamer or something similar. I don't know what kind of boat it is, or ship. I call everything boats. If you know what kind of boat it is, then tell me in the Facebook discussion group, please and thank you. Either way, it's not the kind of vessel you would imagine this voyage being on, you know, a voyage to Picnic Island. But, you know, the gang, they're like, all right, I guess, you know, it is what it is. And the Globetrotters lead the way up the gangplank. Yeah, I believe that's what it is. Each of them have suitcases with a basketball inside. It's very funny. Not cute, but funny. Once everyone is on the boat, it seems pretty spooky. It's a little off. There's no crew, no passengers, no nothing. They notice that the life preserver says the Haunted Island Queen. So they all get the bright idea to go down the gangplank and get out of there. And a mysterious hand, very Scooby-like. Classic stuff here, drops the plank. Then a rope is untied, the anchor is lifted. Oh geez, some bad stuff is going on. So Scooby was on the turnstile that houses the anchor. So when it was raised, he goes flying off into a pipe. That pipe is, you know, where the horn sounds from. I'm sure there's a term for that I have no clue what it is. And since this ship is about to shove off, the horn sounds. And Scooby's in there while it happens, and it looks very harrowing. What's better is poor Scooby's face and, like, the animation of just his body afterwards. I'll try and remember to post a picture in the discussion group when this drops. It's just, if you're watching the episode, I you'll see it, and I think we can all relate to that frame right there. So, the gang, the whole group, the Globetrotters, Mystery Inc., they're trapped on this boat, heading to Haunted Island. And, oh yeah, remember the episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The one with Haunted Isle? It would be nice if this were an homage to that. I'm 100% sure it isn't, though, but it would be nice. So, they're in a bad situation, but they're trying their best to make something good of that situation. Metalark, hey, I'm starting to know their names, volunteers to captain the ship back to the shore. He sends the gang to check out the ship to make sure it's in good order. Metalark has someone, I couldn't understand the name this time, drop the anchors so they will stop drifting. It's a great call, actually. Unfortunately, that someone hilariously takes the entire turnstile unit that houses the anchor, rips it from the deck, and chucks it overboard. Metalark rubs Curly's bald head and he says they should just turn the ship around. Turning the wheel doesn't go as planned because it flies off and out the window into the ocean. Darn. Fred, Daphne, and Velma find the engine room, and they find that the engine is working. I was going to call them simple and make fun of them for not realizing that that's how a ship works, but I now realize that many times in the episode, they all mentioned and said and thought that the boat just drifted off. Metalark just said it. I think I just said it, actually, you know, recording this. So I'm the one that should be mocked this time. As they ponder my stupidity, Velma notices and points out that there's another wheel being operated by ghost hands. It's just right there in front of them. And it's Fred, Daphne, and Velma. The three just don't seem to find that disturbing, curious. They're not even interested. There's just no reaction except that they need to tell Metalark. I know they say they don't believe in ghosts, but two hands just floating, steering the ship from down below so it can't see where it's going at all. And, you know, that happening while they're trapped on that ship at sea, and they don't give a single care. I mean, it shocked me a little bit. Now, meanwhile, Shaggy and Scooby are predictably making some food. Shaggy is making some pizza. He's kneading the dough, and he does that thing where you throw it up in the air, all spinning and fancy-like. It goes towards the ceiling where a panel opens and a mysterious hand, classic Scooby style, catches it and then drops a metal disc, like the size of a porthole, like a manhole cover almost, right onto his head. And I can only imagine the pain and the injuries. Shaggy has to be in shock. I mean, maybe there's fractures in his spine, concussion, he's probably got blood in his brain. but his mind is trying to cope with it, so it's just completely ignoring it. He just gets right up. And I gotta tell you, between the ghost hands, the no reaction to the ghost hands and that, this episode is getting really wild. Now, the older kids catch up with Metalark and they tell him about the ghost hands, and then he makes a reference to a movie that I don't know. Once again, if you caught it and you know the movie, go ahead and sound off in the discussion group and let me know. The older kids tell Metalark about the ghost hands, and I just said that. Metalark looks at an old map that he found, and the island that they're headed to, Haunted Island, it's a cliche. It's shaped as if it is a skull. Real original, Scooby-Doo. Although, it's cute and funny, and this is honestly a great episode, so I'll let it slide. Now, Bobby Joe is asked by Metalark what their position is, and it goes extremely well. Now, as we all understand, the audience, he should tell Metalark where they are in the sea and whatnot, like their location on Earth, where they're located. Instead, he surveys the group on the ship, the one who is supposed to be telling Metalark where they are. So he's stuck hanging off of the crow's nest, yawn, the big post in the middle of the ship. And he surveys that Metalark and Curly are on the bridge. Geese has his head stuck in a porthole. Gib and Pat are falling down the stairs. And Shaggy and Scooby are hiding under a lawn chair. It was honestly outstanding. This episode is nice because the Globetrotter shenanigans are just, they're really, really honestly funny. That little montage or like list, honestly, it made me laugh and I really, really love it. This is one of my favorite episodes of the new Scooby-Doo movies. So, you know, the group is all accounted for and everyone is very silly. And meanwhile, all of a sudden at night, the two ghost hands holding a spyglass are on Haunted Island looking at the boat, watching it approach. Another pair of hands with more spyglass shows up and they laugh about the group approaching. As the group approaches the island in the boat, they are on course to crash into a big old rock, so they are forced to abandon ship. Shaggy and Scooby defy all kinds of laws and realities to fly from the boat to the shore. The rest of the group does join them. I don't think they flied. They flew, excuse me, flied. That was nice. Metalark, he makes fun of Curly's bald head for the fourth time, I believe, and it's still funny. He's still got it. They begin to look for a place to sleep, and they spot a big, old haunted mansion. Metalark knocks on the door, stating that they refuse to barge in unannounced. Now, he changes his mind when a flock of bats flies into frame. It scares the Globetrotters, and he yells, "Now announcing the Harlem Globetrotters," and they barge in. That really made me laugh. It's great comedic timing. And I need to touch on something here. I believe it was Julie who touched on it before, but it's odd that the makers of this show decided to have bats be scary. They aren't some super scary monster in real life. I wouldn't say that they're the prettiest things ever, and they're not like a puppy or a kitten to me, but they don't try to hurt people, usually, maybe never. And they're just generally okay. They were just part of the aesthetic choice of the show, I guess. But, you know, it's just funny how that happened. It's become like a bias, and we all know bats are actually okay. But anyways, the house that they barged into is very dark without the lights on. Weird. The walls are decorated with trophies, like hunting trophies. So the owner does not share the same ideals as I do, apparently. The group goes to investigate and see if someone is inside. Shaggy feels a tug on his shirt, and he thinks it's Scoob. Now, poor Shaggy's reality is absolutely shattered as he figures it out. It isn't Scooby, but it's the ghost of an idol? They call it statue in the episode. But I have no clue to this day what that thing really is. It's small, like 2-ish feet tall. It floats, it's gray, and it has a face similar to what you might see on a Native American or maybe even South American or Latin sort of art or idol that this show normally depicts. But it is autonomous, and it is attacking Shaggy. Now, another ghost shows up, and it's the same size as the other. Now, the design here is the same exact outfit as the dog napper in that one episode of Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? you know, the episode where that there were dog nappers in, you know, the dog napper episode. But yeah, the main villain of that episode wore the getup with the mask and the maroon shirt. Well, this idol looks just like that, but very small. Weird ghosts in this episode, gotta say. But I love them. Wow. I write things down as I watch these episodes, and sometimes, you know, you just... I just hit a spot in the notes, and you know, I can't comprehend what I was trying to get across. So I have weird ghosts in this episode, and then I have a full sentence here. It says, just straight up hands with spyglass. Oh, goodness. Yeah. Oh, man. There's weird ghosts in this episode is the moral of the message here. Now we have just straight up just hands that hold spyglass, and I don't know what they're using to look through the spyglass. Is the rest of them invisible? And now we have 2 to 3 foot tall little idols or statues floating around, tugging on shirts and jumping on Scooby's back. Interesting. So our two friends run to tell everyone what just happened. They do, but then the Globetrotters say that they know. I'm sorry, I keep losing this. I'm having a tough time between spilling the drinks in my room while recording this, keeping the page on the right page. You know, it's not always puppies and sunshine in this world, but that's okay. We get through adversity by keeping on, keeping on. All right, so Shaggy and Scooby run up to tell everyone what just happened, and they do, but the Globetrotters say that the idols grabbed them as well, and it was cool. Okay. The group all have their bedrooms picked out, add squatter to the list of names and accusations for and against these kids, and they all go to sleep, or go to sleep. When everyone is in their rooms, all of the statues and art in the hallway near the rooms begin to move and, like, wake up, sort of. The little dog napper statue blinks, a hand reaches out of a chest on a nightstand in the hall, and it just slaps a bear head trophy above it. The bear just kind of opens its eyes like, what? There's a human statue with next to one of the doors with a mask on, and it stretches and yawns. And then there's a crow statue that flaps its wings wildly, and it screams. Yeah, you know, all is well. I forgot about this moment, actually, that whole moment where everything wakes up. It's one of my favorite Scooby-Doo moments, like, ever. Just a really cool spot. The lighting, the colors that they chose for the hall and the way they lit the nighttime, the statues of choice, the designs there, the music, and the comedy of it, like that slapping the bear awake, it's all just combines to be just something else. It's even better now because it reminds me of something like Night at the Museum and more recently Annabelle Comes Home. That's a horror movie, so be careful showing it to the kids. I love that franchise, by the way. The Conjuring Universe. I talk about it rather often on my other podcast, Back Row Movie News. Okay, need to correct myself here. The crow, the statue that flapped its wings and opened its mouth as if it was going to scream, did not scream. I played the scream in my head, but it's like they forgot to add that sound effect. The editor, the sound engineer, really dropped the crow on that one. I mean, darn. But it's all right. So the gang is peacefully sleeping, except Shaggy and Scooby, who are praying. Now, I think that's the first time that religion has been brought into play in this show. I may be forgetting a few other small moments, but it's interesting that they used it here. I obviously they needed a way to transition Shaggy and Scooby from like the floor to the bed so that when they try to get in it, a sheet comes and it looks as if it's a ghost. They do that. Shaggy says, "Zoinks, we better pray some more." Amen to that, brother. You're going to need it in this episode. The Globetrotters are all in one single bed. Classic cartoon move right there. It's very funny, too. They all say goodnight, and when I say that, I mean each person starts to say goodnight to all of the others by name. Once again, very funny. Classic cartoon kind of stuff here. Metal Art cuts them short, but, you know, they all say goodnight to... he says, one goodnight to everybody will do. And as they start to go to sleep, we see everyone's feet moving and, you know, existing. But in the bed, there's another pair of feet with them. And it looks like night boots, like just metal night boots, the metal ones, you know, like knights. They start to suspect that they are in trouble when the feet move, a chain rattling noise occurs, and the thing in the bed grunts. They all rightfully hop right out of bed, but they do decide that someone has to go check it out. Curly is tricked, per usual, into checking it out. He slowly and carefully approaches, and when he gets to the edge of the bed, the knight pops from under the covers, screaming. It grabs Curly and drags him under the covers. The timing of the pop out and the sound of Curly's scream is really funny. I really love that part. The Globetrotters, you know, they come to Curly's defense. They all join in the fight, and there's a little bit of ruckus. And when they pull the covers off, they have the knight subdued. They pull the helmet off of the thing, and it's Curly, who's the one in the armor. So the knight switched places with Curly. He put him in the suit, and then it dipped. It disappeared. They wonder where it went, and they accidentally find out when the trap door that the knight used to escape is the bed. They fall through, and they land in a large and aesthetically pleasing library. Very cool room. Once again, I really like this episode. So Shaggy and Scooby still in their room awake, trying to pray away the demons. They hear a chain rattling, and they awake when the candle in their room is blown out. I would argue that it's safer that way. Leaving a candle lit while you're sleeping? Risky. The grandfather clock in their room goes off, and a crow, a big crow, maybe it's more of a vulture. It's probably a vulture, if I remember correctly, with red eyes, is in there. It pops out, looks both ways, and then laughs. I believe we've heard that laugh before in Scooby-Doo, Where Are You? The episode with the witch and the zombie. Can't believe I forgot the name of that episode, but you probably know which one I mean. In the swamp, you know, Zeb and everything. Another classic. Now listen, I know a lot of voices, characters, designs, and other elements are reused pretty much constantly throughout the older Scooby-Doo canon. It's like they had a shoestring budget for every incarnation of this show until, like, recent history. And maybe they were just really economical and sensible folks to reuse the easy stuff. But, so, I mean, every time I point stuff out like that, I mean, you could point out, like, probably a whole bunch of instances in every episode in which you see something or hear something that you've heard or seen before. But when I notice just certain things from certain other episodes, I have to point it out. It's part of the fun. So, Shaggy and Scoob are dealing with several spooky occurrences. They run to go sleep with the Globetrotters, but they run towards a window. Don't do it, Shaggy. And they see a ghost float up from below, you know, outside the house. It looks like the ghost of a woman. It's got, like, a dress on and everything, but it has that classic Scooby-Doo sound effect of ghosts. It's something like, oh, a bad impression, but I feel like you might know what I mean. You probably know the one. So they see that, they freak out, they start to back up, and they accidentally activate a hidden switch on the wall to their right, which activates that wall next to them. It's a secret passage. It flips around, and they fall outside from the second floor. The older kids hear all the ruckus with the Globetrotters and Scooby and Shaggy, and they begin to investigate. The Globetrotters are still stuck in that library, too afraid to go the easy way back up to the bedroom. They start ripping books off the shelf looking for a secret exit. Good luck finding one on purpose. Or it's going to be the very last book on the shelf. It always is, you know? Shaggy and Scooby are looking for a way back into the house. Shaggy gets on Scooby's shoulders to try and get up to the balcony. Scooby has a heck of a time trying to get Shaggy up and stay stable. He nearly falls over and drops Shaggy many times. Shaggy actually at one point starts cruising easily up to the balcony. He's really pleased with Scooby's efforts, but when he keeps going past it, he looks down to see that he's on the shoulders of a ghost. And this is the white sheet kind of ghost, just a floating one. Carrying him straight up to the heavens. All that praying is really doing you something, Shaggy. He freaks out, but he escapes to a nearby tree where Scooby joins him in the tree. Shaggy going down, Scooby going up. They're both scared. As they're trying to get away from the floaty ghost outside, the older kids find some luminous footprints in the house, and they begin to follow them, hoping to find everyone. Now, the Globetrotters, they've emptied the bookshelves completely to find no secret passage. Darn. Metal Arc does find some luminous handprints, not footprints, but handprints to follow, though. The handprints lead over to a grandfather clock that is stopped. Bobby Joe notes that the clock is stopped. Good job, Bobby Joe. He tries to turn one of the hands, and that activates a secret passage that is the clock. I told you, they never find it on purpose. Ever. Almost never. Shaggy and Scooby try to vault up to the balcony, but as they run, there's a tree on their left with a face similar to, you know, something you'd see in, like, the Winnie Pooh ride at Disneyland or something, or maybe even in the show. Think of the same vibe as, like, the Whiffin' Poofs, which I believe that's what they're called. I'm blanking on it, but you know what I mean again. Tell me in the Facebook discussion group how wrong I am. So that face on the tree, it just gives me that sort of vibe. Anyway, the tree yoinks the large stick that they have from them, and it sends them crashing through the basement doors where the Globetrotters are about to exit. Now that group, the Globetrotters, Shaggy and Scooby, all continue to follow the handprints, you know, out of the basement and through the yard. I guess someone was doing a handstand through the library, down a crawl space, or shaft type of thing, and through the yard and estate earlier in the day, I guess. You know, through the dirt and mud in the yard. It's a little ridiculous, but, you know, it's Scooby-Doo, so what can I expect? The older kids are also following the footprints, which have led them outside as well. Each group hears rustling behind a hedge. Fred and Metal Arc peek through and they hit their heads. They all get to one side of the hedges, and then more rustling leads everyone to look through the hedge again and see two ghosts made up of hands and feet only walking by. The gang sees them go to a smaller building, you know, like a little cottage. You know the detached living space you see in a nice house? It's like its own, like, one-bedroom place. Yeah, they go into something like that, I think. At this angle, they knock on the door to that house, and you can see that they aren't just hands and feet, though. It's just two dudes in gray robes with loose masks on. A third dude of similar profile opens the door to that little house, and he lets them in. Now, the Globetrotters surround the door to try and surprise the ghosts. They think if they can trick them out here, then, you know, they got them surrounded, they can just take them down. Now, Shaggy and Scooby accidentally fall in the chimney. That's a long story. I'm not going to go through it. And they plug it up. It leads to the little house smoking up really bad and the ghosts being forced out into the Globetrotters' hands. Good job, Shaggy and Scooby. Nice. They were either going to kill them through smoke inhalation or the Globetrotters were going to catch them. Good strategy. The group unmasks them to see that it is the owner, coach, and trainer of the opposing team, the Scorpions, that the Globetrotters are going to be facing later in the day. They wanted to keep the Globetrotters awake so that they'd be too tired to play and or win the game. The gang explains the mystery away as cardboard, wires, and luminous paint. As always, it seems so much simpler than it could possibly be as the events were depicted in the show, but that's okay. That's one of the reasons we love Scooby-Doo. It's very silly. It's always so, so simple. Anyways, the Globetrotters are, unfortunately, extremely tired, just as the villains wanted. The sun rises, and they are all asleep. Cut to the game, in which the whole team is asleep on the bench. That they stumble onto the floor, all sleeping on their feet. The game starts, you know, the tip-off starts, the Scorpions get a quick score, and they just ensue on a tear of point scoring. They just grab the ball and run down the court, just scoring over and over. And let me tell you that the way they dribble, both teams do it, it's uncomfortable. The way their arms are, they have the longest arms and legs ever, and it's just extremely fast dribbling. It's like, and only the wrist is moving when a dribble. It's not like a full arm. And then the other arm is extended almost like fully backwards. And the run is just so not human again. It looks a little weird to me. But anyways, the score is 42-0 the Scorpion's advantage at a halftime. Now, the team, the Globetrotters, are still asleep. There doesn't seem to be much they can do. Fred says he tries to pump them up. He says that they have to come back in the second half and put this game on ice. Thanks, coach. Now, that gives Shaggy the bright idea to put ice down their shorts and shirts throughout the game to keep each other awake. And honestly, boy, does it work. They can do no wrong. After lots of ice-related shenanigans, the Globetrotters pull off an incredible win. So that was actually my favorite Globetrotter episode, I think. Not the Mystery of the Loch Ness, as I said before. I was mistaken. I love the Mystery of the Loch Ness, but this one is better. I mean, that was a good one, but just this one, the designs, the ghosts, the comedy in this one, they're all superior. Great episode. I love it. And that does it for today for this episode. Make sure you join the discussion group on Facebook, the Scooby-Doo and Meddling Kids Podcast Facebook discussion group. And I would like to recommend, speaking of that, if you are a new listener and you'd like to join the group, we would love to have you, but you have to agree to the group rules to be admitted. Basically, I think the two questions are, how did you find this episode, which normally people just answer yes to, which that's fine, or how did you find this group, that's fine, but almost no one who's asked to join recently has responded to the group rules question. It's always no response. You have to agree to the group rules to get into the group now, because I've let a couple people in that weren't, they were just bots trying to sell stuff, and I don't want that. That's why it's a closed group. So make sure you read the rules. If you have any questions about them, you can message the page. I'll answer it before you join. Just please be respectful of the rules and agree or disagree, and maybe you'll get in. Thank you. I appreciate it. All right, make sure you spread the word as well if you have other people you wanted to invite or something. Thank you, guys. All right, so thank you to Dave Seste for the use of his music, Night Surfing, for the theme song. Stay groovy, and remember, I wouldn't have gotten away with it if it wasn't for you meddling kids.